apologize a few minutes late, but nonetheless, we are here. Anita Marks and David Deal, as always, will be your partner.
Yes,
every Wednesday, we will be your team here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. You know the phone number, 201-939-4513. That's how you get on board. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, as always, hashtag Giants Chat. And I will share your tweets throughout the show. Again, we apologize for the late start. We will go a little extra longer. And again, Big Blue Kickoff Live now at noon. During the preseason, we started at 10 a.m. Now we're back to noon. And typically on Tuesdays, how it's going to work, Ben McAdoo addresses the media at 11 o'clock. This young and upcoming television star and Paul Dottino will bring you press conference live. So right after Ben McAdoo talks, then, of course, on MSG, you can tune into David Deal and Paul Dottino. And then as soon as he gets done, then he races in here. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also, today, players are practicing right now. It's so funny. So I park the car, I get out of the car, I'm walking into the facility, and I'm they're jamming out rap and all, it's just so funny. I feel like I'm walking into a house party.
I know, it's very exciting, right? But it's also great. I think that there is that energy, buzz, and intensity around this facility, regardless of whether you are a player, part of the staff, part of the media. Everybody feels and understands that this is the real thing. Preseason training camp is over, and this is what we've all been waiting for, is the start of the regular season of the NFL. And what better way for a Giants fan to start it off, playing up against the Dallas Cowboys in the September 11th showdown to start off and see who wants to start taking over and capturing the division early. And that's the biggest thing that I think, that regardless of it's week one, I think everybody understands the importance of winning a division game. These are worth a game and a half, maybe two games at the end of the season. And in a tight division race like it has been the past couple of years, you know, you want to get off starting fast, and what better way to do it than getting a win?
Well, let's look at it in regard to the NFC East first, and then I do want your thoughts on the game that's coming up on Saturday. I've been saying this for months now. I really do believe that, and this is before Dak Prescott was appointed the starting quarterback. This is before Carson Wentz was appointed the quarterback for Philadelphia. I truly believe the talent that now is on this defensive side of the ball. I love the addition of Sterling Shepard on the offensive side of the ball. That this is a Giants team that has the potential to win 10 games this season. I've been saying that for months now. Now, the fact that you have two rookie quarterbacks starting in the NFC East, and I think it's evident for the Philadelphia Eagles that, you know, with their trade Sam Bradford to the Minnesota Vikings, that this is a rebuilding year. And I know fans, Eagles fans, they don't want to hear that, but in a sense, I do believe that they have accepted that. For the Dallas Cowboys, I think that there are some hefty expectations for Dak Prescott. But what has been our sample size, David?
Very small, the preseason.
Exactly. So, I mean, could Dak Prescott be the future, the quarterback for
absolutely.
But what realistically, I find it interesting that the spread right now is only 3. I think this Giants defense is just going to give this guy fits. I think he's not going to know what hit him. I think it's very, very difficult to make that jump from college to the pros. You know how talented Spags is. You know how talented this defensive line is. I'm really big into fantasy football. We have this one article that's due at ESPN today, and it's called Who's Your Building Block Player for Daily Fantasy? And at least, five of my coworkers have said Dak Prescott. He's only $5,000 on DraftKings, right? So they're all, so they're saying this should be your building block. And I'm saying, Do you realize
off of what foundation are you using this as the building block?
Exactly. Do you realize Olivier Vernon is now playing for the Giants? Do you realize that JPP is reinvigorated? And do you realize that Snacks is on this defensive line? And I don't want to leave out Hankins and Double O has been great this season. And we've seen what Kerry Wynn can do. I think this is what I'm saying. I think a lot of people are underestimating this Giants defense, and they're putting more weight and more belief into a rookie quarterback that we just got a small sample size during preseason, then wow, look at the talent that Jerry Reese and this organization brought onto this Giants defense.
And that's the thing that you have to make exception for. Yes, you see the potential of what Dak Prescott can be. Yeah, you saw flashes of what he can do for this offense, but yet it was in a time in the preseason where things aren't really schemed, where you're not getting a lot of different complex looks, disguises from a defensive front, and you know this is exactly the type of game that Steve Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator loves, because he's going to throw a lot of different looks, a lot of different disguises, and try to make Dak Prescott beat them with his brain. It's going to be very important for Olivier Vernon and JPP to get their pressure and do it off of the edge, but you also have to do it in a smart way, because when you have a young quarterback who can use his legs like this, what do? When they get in trouble, they revert back to who they are, and that would be a scrambling quarterback. So they've got to make sure that they keep the lanes constricted. You've got to be disciplined on the defensive side of the ball, because you know that they're going to do things to change the launch point, whether it's a bootleg, a naked, things to let their offensive line be aggressive. You know that they're going to run the football. But during these games, when you play a young quarterback like this, you know that there are going to be opportunities to take the football away on the defensive side of the ball. They just have to capitalize on those when those opportunities arise.
201-939-4513. We're going to get to your calls in just a hot second. Again, also, social media, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll share your tweets throughout the show. Injury report, just quick update. Jonathan Casillas is dealing with a rib injury. B.J. Goodson with a concussion. Darian Thompson with a shoulder. All will be limited today at practice. Keep that in mind. Also, earlier today, as we said, Ben McAdoo addressed the media. Randy Bullock will be the week one kicker. What does that mean? His $670,000 salary is fully guaranteed. Just FYI. Also, the question was asked in regard to play calling. Ben McAdoo said he has made a decision about the play calling, but he did not share with the media. To me, I think it's a really, really difficult thing for a head coach who's been an offensive coordinator to give up the duty of play calling.
Especially his first year of switching
over. Yeah, my gut's telling me that Ben's going to call the plays. Not that Mike Sullivan, Sully, a.k.a. Sully, not that he's not qualified or is able to do it. I think it's very, very difficult to hand over that responsibility. I do anticipate Ben McAdoo to call the plays, but again, just my opinion.
I think that he's going to call the plays as well, and I think that this is something that all Giants fans are going to have to watch, because it is great that you have two different people looking and diagnosing things, but at the same time, two different eyes see things differently. So this is something that they have to make sure that they get out of the way right away immediately and figure out how they are going to do it moving forward, because we saw during the preseason a split time, two by Coach Sullivan, two by Coach McAdoo, but they have to make sure that everybody is on the same page so that when Eli Manning is getting the voice through his helmet, that it's the same consistent one all the time so that they can move forward and everybody is on the same page. But I agree with you. You always see how tough it is for somebody, whether it's a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator, to take over as a head coach and to just give over those reins, because that's what they know most and that's what they do best at that time while still transitioning, taking over everything as a head coach.
All right, let's head out to our phone lines. David Deal again. David Deal, Anita Marks, your Wednesday team here.
That's right.
At Big Blue Kickoff Live. We go to line two. Let's start off in Maine with Jason. He wants to talk about the offensive line. Jason, you're first up. Let's go.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Excellent, Jason. How about yourself?
Hi, I just have a question for you, David. I'm wondering, I don't know much of, I'm a Giant fan. I've been a Giant fan for 20-some years, but still don't know a lot about the offensive line because I haven't played football or anything. And I'm just wondering, what is the big adjustment between an offensive lineman going from the right side to the left side? Why does it seem like players are stuck on being on one side or the other? Why is it so difficult, and what adjustments do you have to make if you're used to one side and then you have to go to the other side?
Well, obviously your hand and you're flipping your stance. You may be stronger in one leg than the other. You may be used to pushing off one leg in a kick set than the other. In regards to run blocking, it's the same. I mean, it's just like I said, getting comfortable in your stance and doing it the opposite way. pass protection. It's a lot different because when you're on the left side, you're at the blind side of the quarterback, of a right-handed quarterback, and on the right side, you are to his eyes. So a lot of times, you will try to get different blitzes or different schemes from a defensive side of the ball coming from an offensive left, because that's the side that usually the quarterback, when he's dropping back into coverage and dropping back into his pass set, that he cannot see from the left-hand side, and that's why you have your premier rushers going up against the left tackle. So a lot of it is comfort factor, but also a lot of reasons why somebody is confined to a right side or a left side is because that's all they've played in their career. They haven't had to be versatile to move around and play different spots.
But
so,
also keep in mind, you make more money.
Oh yeah,
on the
left
side of the line.
Well, but I mean,
right,
if you're a tackle or a guard in the NFL, I mean, they're making great money as it is. So
they're making great money, but
yeah,
like for example,
yes, the premier is obviously the left.
And Jason, tackle. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. But like for example, Monroe.
Eugene Monroe.
Yes.
Yeah.
From what I understand, you know, he just was not getting any offers to play the left side of the line. From what I understand, the reason that catapulted him to retire was because he didn't want to risk injury or the risk of getting a concussion for the money that he would have made playing on the right side of the line. So because he wasn't getting, so I'm just saying,
you could look at it however you want, but you're going to get it. If you're going to get hurt or you're going to get a concussion, it doesn't matter which side of the offensive line.
No, that's
you
not
play
what I'm saying.
For.
That's,
yeah,
but
no,
that's not but, what I'm saying. I'm not
no,
saying.
No, I know that you're saying he did it because he wanted more money to play on the left side than the right side. That's a personal choice. If you want to play football and you love the game, you're going to come back regardless, regardless of whether you think the one side's going to get you injured or not. So I think it's just a personal thing. But some players have been bred their whole career to play one position or the other and haven't had to be versatile to play amongst the offensive line at different positions. So
is it like,
it's different case by case.
Is it like golf, for example, or is it like a switch hitter, for example, that somebody, you know, is it a talent, like is it something that you're taught, or is it a talent, a skill, an athletic technique that allows you to be able to master both sides of the line?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's, you know, the ability to have the athleticism to master it, but I think the biggest thing is the mental capability of being able to switch terminology, switch plays in your head, and do it effectively and have the confidence in yourself that you can get it done. And I think that's just bred through time and through repetition.
You know, same thing with wide receivers, for example. You know, there's certain wide receivers that like to run from different one
side.
Exactly.
They don't like to play in the slot. They want to play outside because they feel more comfortable or on the left side than the right side. The strength of their hand or which eye they see better out of.
Exactly.
There's all those things. But what do the great ones do? The great ones adjust.
201-939-4513. Let's go to California. Sean wants to jump on board. He actually wants to talk about power rankings, David. Sean, welcome in.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good afternoon.
Excellent, Sean. How are you?
You guys are killing me with that 10 o'clock story. But I'm glad that it's back at noon.
Well, we're back. We're back to noon.
What do we have to do to get respect? I mean, like, I was watching the power rankings last night, and they were saying that, you know, Giants are ranked 19. And then I'm like, okay, 19, middle of the pack, not that bad. But then what they said after that kind of pissed me off. They said that, you know, we did nothing in this offseason but change our head coach. Well, do they understand what we did? Do they understand what our defense did? Did they even watch any preseason games? I don't know what we have to do to get some respect in the NFL. And the only time we get respect is when we win the damn Super Bowl. It's like after the fact, after we prove everything to everybody, they finally respect us, and they still rank. I mean, how do you put Cowboys ahead of us with Dak Prescott? Like, everybody's worshiping Dak Prescott. Like, he's a god. I mean, like, it's preseason. He was going against second and third strings. So I don't want to just call the rant. I want to just come in. I already made a couple of bold predictions before, giving us a 13-3 season and Sterling Shepard's first pass in the NFL. Completion would be going for a touchdown, not over the top, but breaking tackles. But my other bold prediction, I want to make another one, is Dak Prescott will get picked off at least 3 times with our new and improved defense. And then after week one, no one, you know, I'm not doubting the kid that Dak Prescott's going to have an amazing NFL career. But, I mean, like, I just think in week one, there's too much pressure to handle, especially with JPP, Snacks Harrison, Olivia Vernon, you know, the big three up top and, you know, our safeties. I just think we have a way better team than Dallas this year. And in that, I want to just ask you a couple of questions, Anita. I took your advice in fantasy, and I was able to get Jordan Reed and Eli Manning. But I wanted to just read to you my fantasy, and I wanted to see. I think I have a really stacked team.
Sean's fired up this morning. He was mad about that 10 a.m. start, but I think Sean had some coffee, and he's ready to roll.
Go ahead, Sean.
I'm ready to roll. So I got Eli Manning as my starting quarterback. I went all out on my wide receivers, so my running backs are in mid-pack. So I got Melvin Gordon, Arian Foster. But here's where it gets interested. I got Odell Beckham Jr. as my second round because that was the second pick, so I took him because Antonio Brown was gone. But I got Odell Beckham Jr. Check this one out. Omari Cooper, Jordan Reed, and Mike Evans. The Giants' defense, automatic, and Josh Lambeau. Then my bench is Chris Ivey, Willie Snead, Steve Smith Jr., Theo Riddick, Jared Cook, Darren Sproles, and the Jets defense. I'll take you guys' response off the air. Thank you.
Sean, thank you. Great call today. I love fantasy football passion when people call in with that. I do like that roster a lot. Arian Foster's a guy. By the way, he's starting for the Miami Dolphins. I know a lot of people were expecting Ajay to be the back there, but Arian Foster has looked so great in OTAs and, of course, in preseason that he won out the job. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I think he'll produce as long as he stays healthy. I know that's something he's not been able to do in the past. So my only suggestion to you is if you do own Arian Foster in fantasy football, just make sure you handcuff him with Ajay. That's my only thing. Really quick, I think this is my take as to why I think people, analysts out there, are underestimating the Giants. And that is because when you bring in as much talent as the Giants did on defense and spend that much money in free agency, it is somewhat of a crapshoot. A lot of people believe, and you've played in the league, right?
Yep.
It's your contract year. You ball out. And then once you get that money, then you're not the same caliber of player. So, and there are a number of guys out there that we know who do that.
Yeah,
now, are those
shut it down when they get paid? I understand that.
So
but then you have players who get paid and they want to go out and prove who they are and
right.
prove that they are worth more than what they're getting paid. And based upon the way that we've seen Janoris Jenkins work, the way we've seen Snacks work, the way we've seen Olivier Vernon work, these guys want to prove that they are worth every penny that the Giants paid for them, and they want to prove it out on the football field. And I think that's what we've seen is the change that they've made throughout the game, throughout the preseason, to help bolster this team. But more than anything, it needs to be proven and shown during the regular season and shown that it has helped not just the defense, but overall has helped the football team become better.
I'm with you. But Sean, I think that's where a lot of the doubt comes from is because just in the history, and you've seen it with Washington year in and year out, you know, Dan Snyder, he likes to spend that money
yeah.
on free agents, and they come in and they really don't amount to the expectation. So, you know, so that I think that once the Giants can really prove and show that the talent that's on this defense will produce, I think the respect will come. I think the respect will come.
I think that's the way. And, as a player, even now, nobody's played a game yet. Power rankings are just rankings. People just throw those out there. Let's see what happens after week one. Let's see what happens after week two and see how different these power rankings by the experts change.
Let's go to Lynn calling in from Maryland. The show's never complete on a Wednesday with us when Lynn doesn't call in, so I guess this makes our show complete. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, thanks for the introduction, and yeah, I appreciate that.
You got
very
it.
Much.
You got
and,
it.
And you know, there must be a regular season game on Sunday because David's back, and it's great to see that you're back with us, David.
It's great to be back, and yes, I'm excited. I have the Atlanta Falcons at home this weekend against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ooh.
Okay.
Big game.
Okay, good for you. Now, you'll have a regular Wednesday gig with us?
Always, yep.
Great. I like that.
With us. He's a part of the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lynn is. Well, he certainly
listen,
is.
Listen, I agree with Anita. I think, and I'm going to go one step further here. Anita said it, you know, 10-6, and I say at least 10-6. I like this roster. I think it's the best group we've had here for about 3 years now. And, you know, when you think about it, just at middle linebacker, to think where we were last year in the opener going into Dallas and who we were playing at middle linebacker compared to who we're going to have back there this year, and it's just a huge difference. Now, there's 22 or 23 guys who were not on this team last year. That's a huge turnover. David, you think that makes any difference? Are we going to be a better team the second half of the season than the first half? Is there getting, you know, we're going to have to get used to one another here? What do you think?
I think that the big turnover goes to show you why there is a new head coach here and why there were decisions made throughout the offseason to help bolster this roster, not only with starters but with the depth. But I think this entire season, like any season, is based upon this team staying healthy for an extended period and throughout the regular season, because that's when you can do one thing. When you say at one position, it's the next man up. But then once you start being next man up at this position, next man up at this position, like it's been in the past, the cupboard starts to get bare, and you're starting to go towards the waiver wire and towards practice squad guys who, in a normal starting position, aren't worthy of those spots but fall into them. So same thing, like you said, the sky is the limit for this football team if they stay healthy and keep working and building together.
Yeah.
But once you start having those injuries, especially in key spots like we've had on this football team, that's when you see things starting to waver and things going the opposite way, because then what do other players have to do? They feel like they have to play above and beyond their means, and instead of just doing their job, they try doing too much.
Yeah, yeah. Now, four games bother me, guys. I'm worried about Sunday. It's a division game on the road, the opener. We've been talking about it since April, so I got that on my list. I'm concerned about the back-to-back. Monday night Minnesota, Sunday night Green Bay, and I'm concerned about going into Pittsburgh. But, you know, if we play our game, if we execute, you know, we can grab a couple of those. I mean, I can see 12 wins out of this team if we stay healthy, especially if Eli and Beckham stay healthy. I think that's really going to be the key. David, let me ask you a question about the offensive line. What do you think? If you take it from top to bottom, going through all eight players, where do you think we are with this offensive line? And somewhat related to that, and I'll take the answer off the air and let some others get through. What do you see Beattie's initial contribution being? I mean, he may be forced into going on the field if somebody gets hurt, but how do we work this guy in, David? Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call, and I'll take the answer off the air. Anita, be good. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Lynn.
That's a great question, Lynn, and I think that's what everybody's waiting to see, is because Will Beattie obviously had a late start. He wasn't in training camp, and it's a lot different when you're working from being in running condition and in football condition. It is a total difference. So you may come in the best condition running, you've trained the entire offseason, but once you start getting into drives and sustaining things, 2-minute drives, it completely changes everything. So number one, he has to be in shape where the coaches and the other players are confident that he will be able to play at his best without sucking wind in the fourth quarter, and that takes a little bit of time. Number two, they're seeing him work in practice, putting him in different positions. One of the other ways that I've always thought about acclimating an offensive lineman is go two tights, put him in as a jumbo tight end and start getting him reps and getting him out on the football field, especially with Will Johnson being IR'd and Larry Donnell being the best blocking tight end on the Giants. Bring in another offensive lineman, see if that'll help things, help him to run the football effectively. And then the last key part to it is three, once he's up to par, who is he competing with at which position, and where would you put him to put the five best offensive linemen out on the football field?
Well, you've played with him, so where
But he's also been injured, and he has been out, and he hasn't played yet, and we haven't seen a glimpse of him.
With your time with him, did he ever play guard when you?
He played a little bit of guard, but he was mostly a tackle. So we're still waiting to get a glimpse of where he's at and how effective he looks at any of the positions, because we haven't had a clear look other than in practice.
201-939-4513. We'll continue with your calls. Let's look at some tweets. Mind you, hashtag Giants chat. This is from Ricker81. He says, can you give an evaluation on Derek Flowers, his progress from last year to now? What you've seen in the preseason, Dave?
He's definitely playing a lot more confident. The one thing that he still needs to do is tie his hands and his feet together and use his hands more effectively, punching and redirecting defensive ends. Otherwise, what he got into some trouble in last year, and he got in trouble in the preseason, the holding calls. They're going to be looking right through those things, especially in a big game like this. I love the toughness that he showed last year, his ability to fight through injuries, but now it's tying it all together and doing it consistently. For him, his whole game is about his technique and being able, like I said, to get those hands inside and really own at the point of attack.
Well, you talked about technique, and from what I understand, a big reason why they brought Solari in is to help him, and as well as Bobby Hart with their technique.
Yes.
How quickly, I mean, if you've played one technique, if you've played a certain style your whole life, now you start, is this kind of like you're tweaking your golf swing? I mean, you do that, it takes an entire golf season to really play, like get that swing in full effect. I mean, what's the time frame here by tweaking technique, Dave?
But figure they started tweaking this technique back in OTAs and in minicamp throughout training camp.
Right.
So this time, the tweaking of technique, that's all done with. Now you're getting comfortable into what techniques Coach Solari, who is one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL, is bringing and doing it on a consistent basis. And for a young player, it couldn't be a better time for him because they are not set in their ways like a veteran player to where now they can really continue to develop from being now in their second year as offensive linemen between Flowers and Hart to where they understand how important it is technique-wise to be fundamentally sound, because in the NFL, one false step, one hand placement here makes the complete difference of you getting the job done and winning your battle, losing that job, and possibly getting somebody hurt.
201-939-4513, also hashtag Giants chat. This is from E, the chosen one. Hey, Anita, this is for you. Give us your thoughts on the revamped 53-man roster and what player on offense you're really high on. I'm gonna pair this up with Dean and his tweet. Sterling Shepard will raise plenty of eyebrows Sunday, doubling Odell Beckham Jr., Shepard all day. And the reason I put those together is offensively, I don't know what other player can you be more excited about than Sterling Shepard. And I think the tweet is absolutely on point in that defenses go up against the Giants. They come with an Odell Beckham Jr. defense, and I think they're going to do that right off the bat just to kind of get an idea, okay, what is this young Sterling Shepard? What can he do? What can he bring to the table? Also, reports today is that Victor Cruz is going to be a quote-unquote full go against the Dallas Cowboys. So now you've got Victor Cruz, and again, I mean, we're hoping – I said this earlier. I know this is the first show you and I have hosted in a long time, but like – I'll take an 85% Victor
Cruz. Without
a
doubt.
I'll take an 85% Victor Cruz. You've got that. I think all eyes are going to be on Sterling Shepard the first few weeks of the season to see, okay, where is he going to play? Is he going to play outside? Is Victor going to play inside? I do have a feeling Ben McAdoo is going to move everyone around. From what I understand, all three of these guys can play every position. And I think the jury professionally with opposing secondaries and defenses is still out on Sterling Shepard. And I think they got to see. I think he needs to develop the respect so that the shadowing of Odell Beckham Jr. maybe will become less and less as the season progresses.
And that goes along right away with you. 85% of a Victor Cruz. Giants fans don't know exactly what they're going to get, but either do the Dallas Cowboys. So you have to respect him as a football player, and you have to make sure that you coverage to him and not have everything solely on Odell Beckham Jr., which they're going to start off with, but it's only going to open up opportunities for Victor Cruz and Sterling Shepard to win their one-on-ones,
right,
to open up things offensively and to spread things out. So, yeah, the great thing is that they're going to do a lot of different things with combinations of, you know, getting Tavares King in there, I'm sure, to make sure that they get that top-end speed to open up things offensively so that Odell Beckham Jr. will still get his opportunities because he makes them regardless of whether he has two covering them or not. But the big ones are when you have an Odell Beckham Jr., it is only going to make Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz better football players because they are going to get those one-on-one matchups where Eli Manning is going to target them immediately. So having him out there is only going to help the team. It's only going to build Victor Cruz's confidence, and it's only going to help the offense do different things to be dynamic because you have to respect him out there, even if he's just a decoy.
This is from Dre Day 2014. The matchup most interesting scene is Apple against Bryant. That's if Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie is going to play the slot as projected. Your thoughts on how you think this defense is going to go up against Dez Bryant?
Well, it's a great question because in these, it's always a chess match because you're going to get a different look that you didn't see in the preseason and that you didn't see last season. That's the whole point of why people don't scheme and show so much during the preseason because it's a copycat league. Once you put it on the tape, it's over. It's done with. So it's going to be a chess match to see how they're going to use Dez and how the Giants are going to use the defensive backs going up against the Terrence Williams, the Jason Wittens, and the rest of the players, because you may see Dez lined up in the slot, hoping that they'll draw the attention of Eli Apple, so he's going up against a young rookie instead of going up against a DRC. So I know that there's going to be a lot of different things changed up. I know Steve Spagnuolo is going to change up the scheme, trying to keep this offense for the Dallas Cowboys on their heels and make Dak Prescott use his brain and use those things to where he may throw those turnovers and those takeaways that are perfect that a veteran corner like a DRC or Janoris Jenkins can bait him to throw it.
201-939-4513. Let's head back out to our calls, David. We go to line two. Stephanie's calling in from West Virginia. So she wants to talk about the Cowboys. Stephanie, welcome.
What's up, everybody? How everybody's doing this morning? It's not really that good time to chime in. Yes, I want to talk about the Cowboys, but I want to defend Eric Flowers in one category and one thing. A lot of Giant fans are down on Eric Flowers, saying he hurt from Boston, all this. He played injured last year, and Eli Manning was the fourth least sacked quarterback in the NFL. They blame this dude because we couldn't run the football. We couldn't run the football. No, Andre Williams couldn't run the football on third and short. And I kept telling other Giant fans, I don't think he a big market running back. I'm glad, hopefully he'll find success in San Diego, but going against those three defenses in the AFC West, good luck with that. But mainly because he wasn't a versatile running back. He could only run. He couldn't really catch or pass block. So the defense is only to play him one way. Now, first of all, let me say is unlike a lot of New York Giant fans, I'm not high on Ben McAdoo calling the plays in this game. He needs to let Sullivan do the job as the offensive coordinator because outside of Odell Beckham Jr., the two most important people on this offense is Eli and Victor Cruz. And Sullivan knows them both. He's been here longest. And Ben McAdoo, we may have been ranked the eighth offense in the NFL. The truth is that we ranked 29th in the red zone, and we stink on third down efficiency. You need to let the man do his job. And he needs to concentrate on coaching overall, period. It ain't like he's an experienced offensive coach. Well, anyway, I'm not high on Frank Solari. I know, David, dear, I respect you. You said he's the best offensive line coach. Well, he's been in and out, fired from six different teams. However, you may be so, but for this team, I don't think so. I thought Russ Grimm would have been a better O-line coach, somebody like that. Or Tony Sperano, somebody more experienced. And I don't like the quarterback coach. I don't like him at all. He's the worst offensive coordinator in the NFL. Well, anyway, the key to winning this game against Dallas. You got to whack the Dak. Whack Dak Prescott and shut down Ezekiel Elliott. Force Dak Prescott into making mistakes and all that, and cover Dez Bryant. And somebody, for God's sake, please cover Jason Witten. So he has been killing the Giants. And we need to throw some wrinkles on offense. I don't think we should have Cruz playing the whole game. I think Shepard will have to come up big. I think he will. But I'll even throw in one of the new guys, Travis King. I think Travis King, if we throw him in the fourth quarter and trick the Cowboys' defense, we could win this game. You got to use tricky. And instead of, oh, God, please don't tell me real-time Larry Donnell going to be blocking on the O-line, because, God dang it, they look horrible. They look horrible all season. No, I would throw Larry Donnell out in the second half. I would put Jarrell Adams in. I would have him run down the seam with the receivers, because he's the, I believe, between these three tight ends, I think he is the best tight end. I looked at his highlights in college. And I also want to say, for God's sake, Jersey, can we please bring in another blocking fullback? The Seattle Seahawks just cut Will Taku Afu. And then there's another blocking tight end that was cut for Arizona, this Ifeefe Muma guy. He was big, like 6'8", he built like an offensive lineman.
Stephanie.
He'd be good for the Giants. Okay, that's all I got to say. Okay.
All right,
Stephanie, thank you. That's all you've got. That was like 10 minutes.
This guy's terrible. This
I don't
guy's
even,
awful.
I mean, she hit on so many things. I don't even know where to start.
I don't know. in regards to the offensive line, I don't know why she said Mike Solari is one of the worst coaches, because he's a great coach. Just because he hasn't sustained and been on one coaching staff, that's not always on the offensive line coach when they completely fire the entire staff. I know personally that he's changed the dynamic of the offensive line room. I have the utmost respect, and I absolutely love Coach Flaherty, and he was a great offensive line coach as well, but I can see the difference that Coach Solari has made to this group, and they'll continue to get better. Coach Sullivan is one of the most stand-up guys and a great offensive-minded coach that is only going to continue to get better and better. Granted, here we are saying this guy's terrible, when they haven't coached a regular season game.
One thing that Stephanie did mention is she did talk about Ezekiel Elliott. I know we've been talking a lot about Dak Prescott and of course Dez Bryant, but you know, keep in mind, not only is the quarterback a rookie, but the running back is a rookie as well. And this is a team that prides themselves on running the football extremely well, because some would say they have the best offensive line in the NFL. So now you got two rookies in that huddle.
Yeah.
David, that's I think this is going to be a tough game for Dallas.
I do too. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a tough game for both teams, because we all know what's on the line. We all know what's at stake here, regardless of whether it's week one or not. And this is the confidence booster that both of these teams need to move forward, because I'll tell you this, if the Giants go into this game with as many suspensions at the key spots for the Dallas Cowboys and they don't come away with a win, it's not going to be easy to overcome this one, because you're going to look back and you're going to see this one haunt the New York Giants down the stretch.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to South Florida. EJ wants to jump on board. He wants to talk about the offensive line. A lot of offensive line talk, obviously, with David Deal on the show on Wednesday. EJ, welcome.
Well, I'm going to have to change my topic. After listening to the past few of these fans, it's disgusting. I mean, you guys complain, and not only do you complain, you get the names completely wrong. It's not Travis King. You got it completely wrong there. If you guys are going to complain, do your research. This team has won 4 championships. You guys are not head coaches. You don't even know half the players or the coaches, and you're saying what they can and cannot do. If you have so many problems with this team, go down to Philadelphia and have a blast with no Super Bowl rings. That's all I really got to say, because that really agitated me. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. All right, EJ.
There you go.
Glad that we could be here for you to vent. By the way, Rick is calling in from Tampa. I meant to tell you, since you have the Atlanta and Tampa game.
Yep.
2 weeks ago, I was down there. I went down to Tampa for the Browns-Bucks scrimmage before their preseason game number three. And you know, the Browns defense looked horrible, of course, but the Bucks offense looked quite good. Like, Jameis, I'm expecting big things from Jameis Winston this year, and especially if Austin Seferian Jenkins can stay
healthy,
can got
because he's the X factor
and
for
mentally,
the,
yeah, mentally grow up, and be a starter at the tight end position alongside Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. My goodness, that's a lot of tall, big targets
and
for Jameis Winston.
Back and Doug Martin
and Doug
that
Martin.
Can run well, But Jameis Winston looks like he's in his prime to have a great second year. You can see the transformation that he's made body-wise, getting himself in shape, leaning down, looking more like a professional quarterback and an NFL quarterback, considering he didn't have to split time between trying to work out for football, for baseball, and all the things that he did at Florida State. But his biggest thing that he continues to make strides in is the mental aspect of being a quarterback in the NFL. And you really saw him take it on of checking things, running things at the line of scrimmage. That is very tough for a young rookie to do when he was doing it at a high level last season.
So that's an exciting game for you.
Very exciting.
This weekend. I'm excited for you. Let's go to line three. Rick, again, is calling in from Tampa. Rick, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, how are you guys? It's another year. I'm excited. Nita, Florida says, hey, you. As usual, David, man, I wish you were playing still, but that's another story in itself. We could use you. They're excited down here for the Bucks. He's doing speeches for Florida State and everything, but you know, they should have a good offense. Cleveland stinks too, and that helped them out a little bit as well. But I am calling because, as I love to call your show, it's funny, everybody who calls your show is from another state. You ever notice that? It's like you barely get any New Jersey or New York callers. They're all from every transplanted New Yorkers, I guess, around the country. The record against the Cowboys opening is 0-8, so something has to give. And I am so expecting this. This is such an important game, and you don't want to put as much pressure on one game, but I think there is one game pressure here because to be a different Giant team, we need to beat the Cowboys. And like you were just saying, with suspensions and the depleted players that they don't have, even more of a reason. But I'm telling you, this guy, this Prescott guy, and I think it comes down to the two things. One, as you're saying, is that the rookies, him and Elliott. But in conventional thought, that is true. But if they run the ball behind the line, that would help him out. But also the breakup of the line and him running around has killed the Giants. Just look at, the old Eagles, Donovan McNabb and stuff, how he used to kill us. When he would do that. And this kid's big. He's like a Jameis Winston. He's a pretty big guy.
6'2", 238.
So if he starts running around, all thoughts and all all thinking about, he's a rookie and all this stuff, it's going to go out the window because then he's just going to naturally do what he's been used to doing. And sometimes that just works. So running the ball, throwing the ball over here, and we've never been good at stopping a guy like that. So I think it is so important that as a defense, that the hype and everything about how the guys we brought in hold their ground in the ground game. And I'm telling you, Jenkins, there's a bunch of Bama fans down here. I mean, not Jenkins, the kid from Alabama. He's going to have to have a good year out there at safety. It's going to be, they're going to have to stop him. And I'm hoping that this 0-8 trend, it's got to change because New Orleans coming up, these last couple, everybody's predicting Giants 3-0. They got to win this game. And then they could be 3-0 because the next two games are pretty, New Orleans, I don't think is going to have a good team at all. So very important. First game, keep an eye on this kid from running. Don't you agree with that?
I agree with you, and that was what I was saying earlier in the game, or early in this show and in the press conference live show, is that, as a defensive end, you've got to be able to attack the quarterback, but also you have to maintain lane discipline because you know, that they're going to change the launch point, you know, bootlegs naked, let him use his legs, get him comfortable so that he's not dropping back. Obviously, they're going to run the football, but a young quarterback like this, when they have difficulties going through the progressions, they revert back to what they do best. And for him, it's being a scrambling quarterback and being able to make plays outside of the pocket by being able to, you know, do things in that way and in an improvisational way. So I agree with you because these are problems that not only have the Giants had in the past, but we saw the way that Tyrod Taylor was able to play in the preseason as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know what Donovan McNabb and all these guys in the past did the same thing. So that's up to let's hope the linebacker is – Casillo's going to play?
I believe that he will. He has ribs, but he's on a limited basis. But I believe that he will go on Sunday. One that we have to watch is Thompson, the safety. Obviously, Burhey will fill in as the starter, but he's has a shoulder right now and is on the injury report as well. Also, going along with something else that – I talked about in the press conference show is offensive line-wise. They need to make sure that they watch that Buffalo Bills film in the preseason and learn from it because this is an active group up front for the Dallas Cowboys defensive line. You know, Tyrone Crawford's only 285, and Terrell McClain is, I think, 302 or 303. But what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to do different line stunts. They're going to try to penetrate. They're going to try to get the Giants offensive line on different levels so that the zone scheme isn't so effective so that they can use that as their advantage because they're oversized by the Giants offensive line compared to their D-line.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I really appreciate you guys taking a call. I just hope that they use Shane Vereen the right way this year because I think he's a weapon with the three wide receivers that Eli can just make it four, and that would be really hard for Akeem to stop. So I'm hoping, I look forward to calling you guys. Nita, love you. David, take care.
Greatly appreciate it. Have a great day.
201-939-4513. We're going to extend Big Blue Kickoff Live for just a few minutes because, unfortunately, we did get a late start.
Yep.
And we apologize for that.
We're here for you guys.
So let's go to Conrad calling in from Manhattan. Conrad, welcome.
Hey, David, Anita, you guys are awesome. I love you guys. I am pumped for the season. I already told my in-laws, who are Eagles fans, do not come to my house on Sunday. I love them, but they need to stay at home. If they do, I told my wife I'm going to be in a room. I don't want to be rude, so I'm going to be very antisocial. So I need my house to myself on Sunday. Now that I went through all of that, I'm pumped up about this defense. And the reason why I'm so pumped up about them is this preseason, I've seen them stop the run in a very, very impressive way. And the way that we've been rushing the quarterbacks, I think it's going to be great this first game. I think that this Sunday coming up, I think they're going to shut down Dallas. I don't know if they're going to... I don't see how the Giants with this defense is going to allow a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back to beat them. And I am pumped up about this defense because I just think that the Olivia Vernon was a great add-on. JPP is really, gaining his form back. So I think the defense is really chomping at the bit to get at this Dallas game to show what they're capable of. To show you how much I'm pumped up about them, I picked them. Anita, you probably would disagree on this a little bit, but I picked them for my fantasy league. Just because I think that they're a sleeper, I think that they're going to, put up some points, and unless somebody get injured, I think this Giants defense is really going to be one of the force that carries the team. As far as the offensive goes, I know last year we rated top 10. We ranked top 10 in the league. The only problem that I have with that is that even though that is true, but there was situational football that we needed to get a first down, either score a touchdown, that we couldn't do. And that was just because of the fact that we didn't have a running game.
Exactly. So, finishing games in four-minute drives and being able to kneel down in the victory formation instead of punting. I couldn't agree with you more.
So with that being said, I think the Will Beatty signing was not a bad move. I think it's not going to hurt. But with that being said, I am worried. I'm not scared, but I'm a little bit worried about the offensive line because we have to have a running game. The last caller said that we need to use Shane Vereen. We did use Shane Vereen. You know, if you look at his numbers from when he left, from when he was in New England and we came to the Giants, he actually got more touches and more touchdowns with the Giants. So I'm not worried about Shane. But the offensive line, David, other than adding somebody, how do you think we could improve it so it could be something that, you know what, I could go to sleep and not even worry about them like when you used to play?
Well, obviously running the football is the best way for this group to continue to move forward and control things so that in the third and fourth quarter they can take over football games, but moreover, so that they're not in third and nine-plus situations like they were the entire preseason. That I don't care what offensive line you're in. If you're in third and nine plus seven of your nine third downs, you're not going to be able to fight your way out of quicksand that way, and it only gets worse and worse. So running the football is going to be very important. And to go along with the signing of Will Beatty, something needed to be done because if you look at the way it worked during the preseason, Bobby Hart would have been the right tackle to swing in since he didn't win the battle at the right tackle position. But then if Justin Pugh goes out, who could be the backup left tackle, if he's out and then Bobby Hart goes to left guard, who's going to be your next swing tackle? They didn't have one. So the signing of Will Beatty was a necessity because, number one, it brings in an offensive lineman who can be versatile, who they're trying to play at different positions. But it also gives him a tackle that can play both left and right tackle, where Bobby Hart isn't a left tackle whatsoever. So it was a definite need to sign. And how does it work out for the best benefit of the New York Giants and the Giants offensive line? That is yet to be seen.
Absolutely. I love the matchup of Eli Apple versus Dez. I'm impressed with Apple. I love what he's been doing. Last year, I watched on two occasions where Dez Bryant torched Prince Amukamara. I mean, it was embarrassing the way he torched him. So I believe Eli Apple is a better corner because of his size and just the way he plays the game. Look, I can't wait to see it because I don't believe this rookie, his first game, eventually I think, you know, Prescott is probably going to be good just from what I see. But this is going to be a first game against the Giants, you know, prime time game. He's going to have the jitters as well as being excited, and this defense is going to go after him. I just don't see how he's going to be able to perform to the level of what this game is, his first game against this Giants defense. Love you guys. Thank you for taking my call. Go Big Blue.
Dave, some final thoughts before we do sign off.
Well, I will say this is a game that everybody is excited about. It's week one. Everybody's done dealing with the preseason, and this is what we've all been waiting for, is real football games getting ready to go. And like we said, what better way for a Giant team to start up against a wounded animal in the Dallas Cowboys because of the suspensions in key spots. But at the same time, you've always heard what's the most dangerous animal is a wounded one. They can't take it for granted, and they need to make sure that they play sound football penalty-wise and controlling the football and not giving the ball away. If they can do those two things and control the line of scrimmage offensively by running the football and staying in third and manageable downs, that way they can keep the Giants' defense fresh and off of the field. That's where I see the Giants' defense going into problems, is if they're on the field for a long period of time where the Dallas Cowboys are sustaining drives and are able to take over the momentum that way, because that's what's going to give Dak Prescott the confidence, is having long drives where he's getting comfortable, where it's not all on his shoulders, where it's not forcing him to make throws and make plays where he doesn't have to do it to move the chains.
Right. So just in conclusion, again, Big Blue Kickoff Live, myself and David Deal with you every Wednesday afternoon here from noon to one. So hopefully you'll join us for lunch. Again, players are practicing right now. At 1:45, they'll be made available to the media. Those interviews will be up on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. I highly recommend you tune in. If you missed the press conference show, it'll re-air on MSG a little bit later on tonight, and also you can find it on Giants.com.
Yep.
Injury report in regard to who's limited, Jonathan Casillas, B.J. Goodson, and Darian Thompson, which, listen, if it's that and they're limited, I mean, kudos to the Giants, because we know that, that being healthy is a big key this season. It's a big goal this season, is to keep this team healthy. Again, Randy Bullock will be the week one kicker for the Giants, which means his $670,000 contract is fully guaranteed. Also still waiting to find out just some big storylines to really marinate in as we get closer to kickoff. Who will be playing the call? Who will be making the calls? We both feel that it'll probably be Ben McAdoo, but I'm sure that announcement will come probably on game day.
Yep.
What else? New era under Ben McAdoo. Victor Cruz, apparently he's going to be full go against the Dallas Cowboys. And obviously all eyes on this Giants defense with the money that they spent on free agency, was it well worth it? So just some big storylines as we get closer to kickoff. So, and again, we thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you
very much.
Big
Blue Kickoff Live. We'll see you next Wednesday right here on Giants.com.